We are up to Perek Zayin. We are in the middle of Perek Zayin. We are up to Pasuk. Right after the Morsam HaPritzin, Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay? Pasuk Yud Beis Ki. L'chuna el mekami Hashem b'shiloi. Now we begin a new sugya. Okay, these next number of psukim is where Yirmiyah emphasizes, he dwells upon the theme of Shiloh. Now, we're dealing over here at the end of the Bayis Rishon, and it must have been approximately, Bayis Rishon was 410 years, so let's, and plus the number of years since the Bayis, since the time of the Chumash of Shiloh was 50, I think it was 52 years. So we're dealing. So we're dealing with about, let's say, approximately 460 years since the Churban of Shiloh. It's a long time. 460 years is a very, very long time. And Yirmiyah is coming now to remind the people what happened at Shiloh, and was telling them that what happened at Shiloh is going to happen to you. And he emphasized that this was a theme. We have this idea in Yeshaya as well. Where Yeshaya says to them, watch out, if you continue in this path, what's going to happen to you is going to happen like what happened in Shiloh. And you have to remember, Yeshaya lived almost 200 years before Yirmiyah. So when he's giving them Musar about Shiloh, the memories are a bit fresher, because it wasn't all that long. I mean, no one obviously was alive at the time of the Churban of Shiloh. It was from the time when Yirmiyah, when Yeshaya gave Musar to the time of the Churban of Shiloh, it had to be at least 250 years since the Churban of Shiloh. But again, this theme is coming up again 200 years later in the time of Yirmiyah, where he's warning them approximately 450 years since the Churban of Shiloh. He's telling them, watch out, it's going to happen to you like what happened to Shiloh. Now before we read the Pesuk, let's just emphasize the point, the significance of Shiloh. We unfortunately live in a world where we expect Churban. We're disappointed because we're living after the fact. There's been a Holocaust. We suffer daily from terrorism. There are very significant problems that we face every single day, and it goes without saying that we were living in Galus for almost 2,000 years, and there's a Bayis Sheni that was Charav, a Bayis Shurishon that was Charav. So to us, it's not a big deal that there's Churban. Churban is something which is part of our blood. And despite the fact that there is Churban, we still have confidence, we still have yearnings that there's going to be Geula. Baruch Hashem, we've been trained in this way. But when Shiloh was destroyed, it was a shock that was beyond belief. Shiloh was the first time when a Mishkan was destroyed, at least in a significant way. Shiloh was there for 369 years. Now, even though Shiloh was not the first structure they had in Eretz Yisrael, it was Gilgal for 14 years. The Mishkan was situated in Gilgal, and you get the impression that it was a bad thing that Gilgal came to an end. And there are midrashim that say this. Midrashim that say that Yaakov Avinu, he bowed down to Esav 7 times. When Yaakov met Esav, he bowed down 7 times. Chazal are critical as to why he bowed down so many times. And as a punishment for bowing down 7 times, 7 mishkanos were destroyed. And those include Gilgal, the Midbar, the Mishkan of the Midbar, Gilgal, Shiloh, Noiv, Givoin, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. And this Midrash appears in many places, in many contexts, many different places you have this idea. Those Midrashim give us the impression that, and this is not anywhere recorded, is that when they came into Eretz Yisrael and the Mishkan was no longer the Mishkan that they had in the desert for 40 years, it was a bad thing. There was a degree of Churban, which is hard for us to understand, because it does not appear for there to have been any Churban with the Mishkan coming to an end after 40 years. But you get the impression that had Klal Yisrael been on a higher level, they would have merited that the Mishkan they had in the Midbar would continue with them in Eretz Yisrael. Now, you'll ask me, what is the difference between the Mishkan in Eretz Yisrael and then the Midbar and the Mishkan in Gilgal? I have no idea. But it seems that there was some difference. And then after Gilgal came to an end, men. We don't find any record, as far as I'm aware, that Gilgal was destroyed. We don't find, it's just that it was retired. It's time now to move on, to build a new structure in Shiloh. And the structure in Shiloh was a bit different. That we know for sure was different than the structure of the Mishkan in the desert. The walls were no longer made from the krashim. The walls were made from stone. But it seems they did continue to use the ureos. The ureos, the three levels of ureos that were put on top as the ceiling, were the same in Shiloh that were used in the Mishkan. So was it a bad thing that Gilgal came to an end? Well, the Midrashim seemed to indicate it was a bad thing. Then they were in Shiloh. Shiloh, they were there for 369 years in Shiloh. And that we know it's detailed in great, there's great detail in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel as exactly Gilgal was Shiloh was destroyed. It was destroyed primarily due to the sins of Eli, the Kohen Gadol, and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Hophni and Phinehas, they were leading the service in the Beis HaMikdash. They were corrupt. Today we may think that corruption was no big deal compared to what's going on today, but compared to what we have later in Tanakh, but on Hashem's high standards, it was a corrupt Beis HaMikdash. And there was a war against the Plishtim, and for the very first time they decided to take out the Aron HaKodesh to battle, to serve as inspiration or as a way to defeat the enemy, and the Aron was captured. And the same time the Aron was captured, the Mishkan, Eli, when he heard word that it was captured, he collapsed, he died, and his two sons were also killed. And at that time, we have a tradition that Shiloh was destroyed. The enemy conquered Shiloh, and there was a Chorban. Now, again, as we said, this Chorban was not the first. This Chorban was not in the Medrash the first Chorban. Gilgal came to an end. The Mishkan came to an end. But there's no question about it. The Chorban of Shiloh was on a much higher level. Was on an entirely different scale. When Shiloh was destroyed, it was mamish the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Plus a lot more. Why? Because it was the very first time an enemy destroyed a sanctuary that was built in honor of Hashem. And no one believed it was possible on the Mokaim where the Shekhinah rested. It was impossible in the minds of the people that such a thing could happen. The Mishkan, the Shiloh could be destroyed. It was a shock. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it wasn't such a shock because it already happened once before. It was proven that such a terrible thing could happen. Shiloh could be destroyed. But Shiloh being destroyed was an entirely different level. Now, therefore, when Yeshaya said, warned Klal Yisrael, watch out, it's going to happen to you like what happened to Shiloh, he was touching a raw nerve. Because Shiloh, even though again it's 450 years since it happened, and no one here at this point in time was alive when it happened, but the history, the shock, the horror of what happened at that point in time, the very first time a Korban happened, left a very deep mark on the conscience of Klal Yisrael. And saying this to Klal Yisrael was a very sensitive form of Musar. It touched a raw nerve. It's like Rachmanus on a person was very, very sick and he recovered. He went through many surgeries and he recovered miraculously. And then 20 years later, you say to him, watch out. If you don't behave yourself, it's going to happen to you like what happened to you 20 years ago. You're going to be lying in the hospital. All the doctors will give a hope on you and you'll be just about dead. It touched a raw nerve, and when he would say this to them, this infuriated. This was perhaps the worst thing you can possibly say to Klal Yisrael. It's going to happen to you like what had happened to Shiloh, and that's the theme here of these next series of psukim. So let's see inside.
Concerned about the building, if you will.
Yeah.
All the prior years, the history is there being.
The worshipping idols.
But they're being decimated all the time by outside forces. But people are being killed.
But relatively speaking, they still have autonomy. They're still in control. It's the Shekhinah is still resting in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't understand what it means for the Shekhinah to rest, but they can sense, they can see, they can sense the Shekhinah is there. So even though it's true,
they're still sinning.
They're sinning. They're sinning, but they still, as long as the Mishkan Shiloh is there, that's their anchor. They have confidence that everything will be okay, and Hashem is with them to some degree. But for it to be destroyed, this was the worst thing the Navi can possibly say to them. The Navi knew that when you start telling them it's going to happen to you, like what happened to Shiloh, this he was setting himself up to become a targeted prophet for elimination, because again, this was a raw nerve, and that's
Rabbi,
what
Rabbi Fran made this point after the Six-Day War, that we have the whole, we got Eretz Yisrael, Sinai, the whole business, and then after the 73 war, we lost the Sinai, then we gave back Gaza. All these things are little slaps in the face to remind us, you keep on doing the way you are, you're going to lose more and more. He equated it with the same thing.
With Shiloh. Right. With Shiloh, wow.
It's little things at a time, and it's just every time it's a little slap in the face.
You're going backwards.
We'll wake up calls and we're not waking up.
Okay. This is like after all the Musa, I mean, we're already up to Perek Zayin, in the Perek Zayin, after all the Musa, and he builds up, it's coming to a climax. And it's that's how Mefarshim explained, this was a very sensitive issue. It was even more sensitive 200 years ago in the time of Yeshaya, because it was fresh in their minds at that point in time, at least fresher, 200 years back. But here it's 450 years, it's like a dirty word. You don't throw out the Shiloh card. You throw out the Shiloh card, you're really asking for it. You're really going to incite the people. How dare you tell us that we're going to suffer the same fate as Shiloh? Let's see these series of psukim. Pasuk Yud Beis. Ki luchuna el mikoy mi asher b'shiloh. I want you to go to my location. That means, that's a historical note, that Yirmiyah lived, Anosos is in the vicinity of Shiloh. That's a very big mystery, because some people. Mikoyim Yashar, what does that mean exactly? I'm not sure. We'll see before Hashem. Mikoyim, it says, Hezboinu ato el mishkol asher amar b'shiloh. He does el mikoyim. What does it mean, el mikoyim? Look, the Shiloh today, we supposedly know where Shiloh is today.
Yeah.
And there's nothing there. It's just this is just nothing. Today they're doing digs, archaeological digs. They're trying desperately to dig up some remnants of what was there. I mean, for 369 years, that's a very long time in history. And there was a Mishkan, and there must have been a pilgrimage of millions of people. I mean, whatever, the whole Klal Yisrael came there to Shiloh. There must be things there, and that was the center of life for such a long period of time. And now there's nothing there. Mamash, it's shaming. How could it possibly be? So today, you know, they made it already into a tourist attraction. It's a tourist attraction. The people are investing big money in order to build it up and to give tours and to try to discover some artifacts and who knows what. But maybe we got it wrong. Maybe what we think is Shiloh today is not the real Shiloh. Who says we got it right? And here we have a very interesting expression, El Mikoimi, go to my Mikoimi Asher Bishilo. What do you mean Mikoimi Asher Bishilo? Yirmiyah was from the city called Anosos. Do we even know where Anosos is today? I don't know.
Yes.
The real, you know, there are a lot of, what? We know Yirmiyah is Anosos? Okay, whatever, make or be. So here we're saying over here that Shiloh, on a very simple, what? What?
Even Harris think that's where it is.
Is Shiloh in the same vicinity as... No.
Anatot is, like I said, it's a couple of miles outside Yerushalayim. It's an Arab village on a hilltop, opposite Mount Lazarus.
And Shiloh is up north.
Shiloh, yeah.
It's more up north, right? So what does it mean of El Mikom Asher B'Shiloh? I don't know. So maybe he's saying it means Hashem is speaking over here. El Mikom means saying in Hashem's name, the my Mokom Asher, the place where I rested my Shechina, Asher Shikanti Shmi Shom Barishina, where I rested my Shechina, maybe means Hashem is calling it my Mikom, where I rested my name there, Barishina. That was the first significant location. This word is also problematic because it wasn't the first place. The first first place was in Gilgal. And if you want to go before the first place, it was in the desert for 40 years, wherever the Mishkan traveled. Uru es asher sisilo, and you think I'm not going to do it to you again? Look what I did to them. I went and I destroyed it. Bibnei ra'as ami shall do to the evil of my people. V'atah now, Yan bikos, asayschem eskol hamasim ha'ele, lum Hashem. Hashem says, because you are continuing to do all of these terrible sins, v'adaber aleichem hashkem, and I speak to you every single morning, early in the morning. This is an interesting insight into the pasuk. Hashkem, there's going to be another pasuk later on. Hashkem v'ho'eref. In the evening, in the morning and in the afternoon. Here it says that it was the role of the prophet every single morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, he knocked on everyone's door and he gave a Musar Shmus. Hashkem, it was the daily occurrence to give Musar. Vidaber v'loishamatma, I have spoken, you have not listened. V'ekreschem v'loishanisem, I have called out to you to do shul, you have not listened. Therefore Hashem now says, guess what's going to happen to you? V'yosisi labayis asher nikra shmi olav, I'm going to do to the which my name is called upon, which you foolishly have confidence that will not be destroyed. You continue to imagine that this mish, that the bias will remain here forever. And to the location that I've given to you and to your forefathers, kasher. Again, these three words are the most frightening words in the entire Musar of Yirmiyah. Kasher osisi lishilo, like what I've done to Shiloh. Now, in addition to the idea that we've just spent the last 10 minutes explaining, is that this was a point in history which was very disturbing for Klal Yisrael. He's here using a new technique that was not used before. Everything used before is all theoretical. It's all, try to imagine in your minds that the Mishkan is going to be destroyed. The Mikdash is going to be destroyed. Now you can talk about it forever and ever. You can talk, but it's all theoretical. If you actually show someone something real, a picture is worth 1,000 words. When you go and you take a person on a tour, come, let's go now to Shiloh and let me show you the bricks and stones. Let me show you what Chorban look like. I'll show you a video. That's a very different technique. That's a much more powerful demonstration, a visual presentation to actually show you the hard facts. That shakes up a person. And that exactly is what's happening over here. Besides the raw point, the raw nerve of it being an historical catastrophe, let's go and take a look. I'll take you to the Yad Vashem Museum and I'll show you what it means, Chorban. And when you walk out of there, you will be a different person. I can talk to you from today until tomorrow and tell you what's going to happen if you go do Averis. Yeah, I'll do Averis. So they're going to be skeletons, there's going to be Chorban, there's going to be this and that. You want to go see what Chorban is? Let's go to the museum. I'll show you what Chorban is. That's an entirely different approach, and that's exactly what he's trying to scare the people here with Shiloh. V'shlachti eschem yal ponai, I'm going to throw you from my face, kasher hishlachti eskolacheichem. Another illustration. Go look at your brothers. Go look at the Aseris. What has happened to them? They're no longer around. They've been sent to exile. Kasher shlachti esachichem, eis kol zera Ephraim. Ephraim, of course, is the code word for the Aseres HaShvatim. Yeravam ben Nevat, the founder of the Aseres HaShvatim, came from Shevet Ephraim. Okay, let's go to these psukim and start with the Mefarshim, starting with Pasuk Yud Beis. And the Metzudos David. Metzudos David, Pasuk Yud Beis begins, L'chu no el mikami ritzen alemar, hisbaininu ata el hamishkan asher omad b'shilo. Contemplate the Mishkan that was present in Shiloh Barishana Adloy Nifchar Yerushalayim before Yerushalayim was selected. A Sashra Sisilo, Sheherafti, also Bibne Ross, Yisrael, Bibne Eli Hakoin, I destroyed it. V'loi Choshashni Olav, I did not show compassion, so to you all will be no different. Hashkem Vidaber, here Hashem, we have a nice insight, a new insight into the role of the Nevi'im. We maybe believe that Nevi'im, we only have a few Nevi'im, 48 Nevi'im in Tanakh. In the real record. So you think, you know, every once in a while, maybe once a year, twice a year, maybe once in every 5 years, did the Navi send out an email, everyone should assemble in this location, we'll have a prophecy. That's not what it says here. This pasuk teaches us that the Nevi'im would continuously give over news, reports to Klal Yisrael on a daily basis. Early in the morning, Hashkem, I send you Hashkem Vidaber, Ani mashkiv madaber al yidei hanavim. The mitzvah is not going into the medrash, but the medrash actually makes this point. Not only means twice a day. The pasuk later on that says hashkem v'ha'erev, Yirmiyah said nevuah twice a day. The ekra eschem l'shuvi alai b'shuvah. I beg you to do tshuva. You don't want to listen. The asisi ulechein esse labayis v'lamakayim hu Yerushalayim. Period. V'shlachti l'eretz acheres. I'm going to cast you out to a different land. You kolach echem v'choyz v'farish eish kol zer Ephraim v'heim b'nei aseres hashvatim u'kurasam al shem Ephraim ki Yeravam Yeravam ben Nevat shemolach bohem rishayna, the first king of aseres hashvatim hoya mizera Ephraim. Rashi pasik yud dalid kasher Asisi lishilo bimei eli. Interesting, why does Rashi and the Mitzvahs have to make that point, kasher asisi lishilo? Why does he have to say, like, in the time of Eli HaKoyen? I don't know the answer. Maybe there were other, this going back 450 years, maybe there were other events, maybe there were other occurrences that after Shiloh was destroyed, maybe it was rebuilt. And then there was another Chorban.
Eli in charge for 360 years.
What?
No,
he died 450 years ago. So of course when we say the word Shiloh in our vernacular, we only think of one thing. We only think of Eli HaKoy. We think Shmuel Aleph, the beginning of Shmuel Aleph. We think of Chofni Pinchas and Eli. The Arden was captured by the Pelishtim, and which led into a whole series of events. That's
That
obviously the fact that Rashi and the Mitzvahs are trying to emphasize Bimei Eli, it must be, I'm just suggesting this, is that after Shiloh was destroyed, it was rebuilt. It had not been rebuilt. It was rebuilt.
Prior to that, there were minor
other dwellings in Eli.
No, minor destruction.
Destruction. Oh, I think afterwards.
Even before, minor destruction.
Okay, minor destructions. But that wasn't the Mishkan. So even though, let's say after it was destroyed 450 years ago, they rebuilt. Like, I mean, we could assume they rebuilt. Look, Yerushalayim, even though there's been a wind gullus for almost 2,000 years, Yerushalayim has been in our hands, I mean, in different pockets of time through history, through the Crusades, before and after, here and there. There are different tkufas, and unfortunately there have been a lot of horror stories where there have been tragedy. We've lost it. So when you're telling them, here, a generation, a modern generation, I'm going to do it to you like I did to Shiloh, yeah, okay, not so bad. So we had a nice there was a nice hotel.
Maybe if that was the last destruction,
yeah,
they're going to see what it looks like now. This is what happened then. If it would have been rebuilt afterwards, we would have been,
okay, so that doesn't fit well with the other idea that I mentioned. Right.
This is what happened.
Okay. Right, you have to go to the museum. They have to go to the museum of Eli, of the old Shiloh. But it wants to just to be emphasized is, don't think that we're dealing with a minor destruction. I'm dealing with Shiloh when it was in its glory. In its days of glory, when there was a Mishkan and Hashem Shekhinah was resting. This was the central location of Klal Yisrael in the times of Eli. That's what's going to happen to you here as well.
It's a real major effect on volume.
So he's eating another point. He's saying very good. He's saying, oh, that's why the next passage goes out to say, I'm going to cast you out. It's going to be worse than Shiloh. Shiloh, it was destroyed, but they didn't go anywhere. They remained in Eretz Yisrael. Here, not only will it be destroyed, you're going to suffer another tragedy where you're going to be exiled to another land, Eretz Acheres. Kasher shlachti aseres hashvat, like the aseres hashvat, they're exiled. That's what's going to happen to you, the two remaining shvatim. Let's see the radak. Pasek yud beis. Ki luchu na ruuma asti silo b'bnei ras ami Yisrael. Look at what I have done to Shiloh due to the evil of the Jewish people. Shecharafti, or so I destroyed it. V'solakti shechinasi mimenu, and I have removed the shechina from that location. V'gola ha'oroin mimenu. The Hoya in Pelishtim, the Arden was captured. It was taken with. It was captured by the Pelishtim. The Lo Chashashti Lichvaydi. Hashem says I was not concerned with my honor. Achash Hoyu Heim Mevazim. Also, after they were Mevaze, since they were Mevaze, the Arden. Kain Ese Babayis Hazeh. It's going to happen to you the same thing. Lefichu. Therefore, Al Tivtichu El Divrei Sheker Keelu. Don't have confidence in these false words. Ushloishes Apsukim Haboim Achash. They're just coming to clarify this theme, and that's why at the end of the third pasuk it reiterates, "I'm going to do to you like what I did to Shiloh." Now, what's very interesting here in these pasukim is it gives us a bit more insight into the time of Shiloh, because if you read the pasukim in Sefer Shmuel, it doesn't say there explicitly, to the best of my memory, that Klal Yisrael were the sinners. The shift, the focus of sin was on Chofni Upinchas. They are the ones who were corrupt. So you can get the impression, listen, as long as the people are good people, just because we have a couple of leaders who are not 100%, why should the masses have to suffer? The answer is, you have to understand the reason why the leaders were corrupt, because they were a reflection of the Haloin Am. Leaders reflect the Tzibor. If the leaders, the Tzibor are tzaddikim, and the leaders are corrupt, the corrupt leadership would not be tolerated. They would be removed. They would be dismissed in a very short period of time.
The lesson in the Chumash is always that you have to do something about it.
You have to make a macha.
You have to
protest. Exactly. So this is something which is not explicit in the beginning of Shmuel. If you read the psukim superficially, it doesn't tell us anything about the people. It tells us about Chofni Upinchas, what they were doing. The answer is no. What they were doing was a reflection of the sins of the people. And that's why it was tolerated, and that's why no one was making a macha, no one was protesting their corrupt behavior. Because this is what you do. This is society. This is acceptable. And these psukim here make it very clear. 450 years later, Hashem explicitly is saying, the people in the time of Eli were corrupt. And their leaders, Chofni Upinchas, that's just a symptom of the illness that was taking place at that point in time. And therefore, that's why it took 450 years for us to finally understand why it happened. Like today, we don't understand why do bad things happen, why do tragedies happen. So no one knows the answer. So it could take 450 years for us, for the world, to finally understand. Now we understand why 450 years ago, this, because if you look at the record, the only sin that was committed was Chofni Upinchas. Okay, pasuk tezayin tezvav in the Radak. It's called Zera Ephraim Aseres Hashvatim Shagalu. V'kino Yisam LeEphraim Lefi Shehamalchus Chaysa LeEphraim B'yom SheNechlukah Hamalchus. This is the same because the Malchus to Ephraim, when it was divided B'shem Elach Nikra Aseres Hashvatim B'shem Ephraim, very common. Haben Yaker Li Ephraim. That refers to the Aseres Hashvatim because they are the Aseres Hashvatim is called Al Shem Ephraim. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Tes Zayin. The Atah and you. Now we come to another very popular pasuk of which we draw Nusach of Tila. The Atah and you Yirmiyah. A new theme. Al Tispalel Ba'ad Ha'om Hazev Yal Tisa Va'adam Rina Usfila. Hashem says to Yirmiyah, I don't want you to daven. There are times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal to leaders, it's not the time to daven. There are some times when it's a good time not to daven, and there are some times when it's not a good time not to daven. The classic example is Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem said to Moshe, what's our pasuk?
Kriyas Yamsuf.
What's the pasuk?
Just go. I was thinking about it before you
what's
said
what's the pasuk? Pasuk is... Oh, what's the guy telling me the pasuk? You gotta cook. See you. Okay. Hashem says,
Daber el
b'nei Yisrael vi Yisrael. Don't. And Rashi says, don't bother me, don't go. Now is not a time to daven. Kedai hu he'emuna shehemantem bi. It's kedai the emuna that their forefathers had for me that I will now split the yam. Now is not the time to daven. Unfortunately, Ma titzak elai, daber el b'nei Yisrael vi Yisrael. Now is not the time to daven. Here we have another example where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want you to daven. But unfortunately, it's not because, it's not for the good. It's because Hashem says, you're wasting your time, I'm not willing to listen to the tefillah. So,
So what's the whole point of the Nevuah? If it's too late already, then what's the point of the Nevuah?
The point of the Nevuah, so you're asking very good. So this is the thing we have many times, is it should, it the harsh words... Right, maybe it's the Navi. For him it's not fair. For Yirmiyah, he cannot daven. But Klal Yisrael can still daven. Or, another idea is, the Churban's going to... It's already too little, too late. That we had that theme. But when you will reflect, I'm giving you... I'm planting seeds. When you're going to find yourself in Galus, you'll be able to reflect on the Musar. And then you'll do tshuva, and you will ultimately come back. Look, the proof is we have it today. It's been now 3,000 years since these psukim were said, and we are today reflecting upon these words. So Hashem is saying, I'm giving you Musar, now it's too little too late, but at least you'll have something with you to reflect upon for the years of Golus that you can use as a tool to restore your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's see. So here is a very, there's a very popular pasuk: Al tispal v'al mazevi, al tisal bi'adam rina usila. Do not bring forth on their behalf. Here we have three expressions: rina usefila v'al tifka bi, and do not visit me. Vayifka b'malkam. We have this expression by Yaakov Avinu. Vayifka b'malkam. Vayolan shum kivo hashamish. And from that pasuk, we learn that Yaakov instituted Ma'ariv, Tfilas Ma'ariv. We can also suggest Rina Usila. Rina represents Shachris. And the proof is we begin Shachris with Psukei Dezimra, which are expressions of Rina. And Mincha, the Iker Zman of Tfilah, is the Zman Mincha. We learn from Eliyahu that he was Mispalel. That we learn the Psukim which tell us that the Iker Zman of Tfilah is the Zman of Mincha. Mincha, it's Mincha. Okay. They're different, right? So Mincha. So you have here three different expressions corresponding to the three tefillos. Tifka certainly is Ma'ariv, because that's the makor for Ma'ariv. I believe there's a makor that tefillah also refers to Mincha. I don't remember at this point in Rina. At least loosely, it fits very well with the hakdama to tefillah in the morning. It's Psukei Dezimra, which is an expression of Rina. Fine. So it's a general. That's like a general, and then we break it down. Al tisfalo, do not pray. And now when I tell you not to pray, we're going to break it down into three different categories. There are two different categories. There is rina, there is tefillah, and there is pegiyah. I don't want to hear from you, ki ein e neni shemei oisach. I will not listen to you because of the sin. Now he goes for the pasuk Zayin in Charoya. Don't you see now what's going on here? In Charoya, Mohim or Isim, Bara Yehuda v'Chutzos Yerushalayim. Notice those words. Those same words are used in reference. Od Yeshama, Bara Yehuda v'Chutzos Yerushalayim. Called Sasim, called Simcha. There's a message. Is that it's all going to come to an end. It's all going to come to an end. Instead of there being Sasim v'Simcha, there's going to be Churban because of the sins that are taking place. Bara Yehuda v'Chutzos Yerushalayim. What are they doing? Habanim Melaktim. The Bonim are collecting wood. The fathers are kindling the fire. And the women are preparing dough. Lasos kavonim, pastries. This is an unusual word. How often do you have such a word like this in Tanakh? What? Pastries. Kavonim. Look at the Mitzudos Tzion. Mitzudos Tzion. Kavonim min lachol v'yitochein shenikra keinal ki asoum b'kavonas halev b'tikun rav. Precision is done with a lot of effort and precision.
Forms
you have to do. You have to when you make a pastry. I mean, there's a lot. You ever see on the. What was her name?
Julia Child.
Julia Child. How much precision? It's a very complex process to make a pastry. It's a lot of effort goes into the work. V'chein asinu lo kavonim lehatziva. Later on, we've made pastries for sadness. In other words, they were making pastries to rejoice in the worship of idols. So here, leches hashamayim, for the work of heaven. In other words, they are offering sacrifices, and they are rejoicing with delicious pastries in the worship of the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the constellations, the hasech nitzachim le'elohim achirim, they're pouring libations to other gods, leman hachiseni, in order to anger me. And before we go further, the Mefarshim point out that notice these words are very similar to the Akedah. At the time of the Akedah, they were malakeid, vayikach eso eitz, v'eso eish. What does it say in the Akedah? Avraham and Yitzchak, they prepared. Avraham took the Eitzim. Yitzchak took the Eitzim. Yitzchak. Before that, it says when they. Nacheles. So the Russian want to connect. The Bonim is a reference to Yitzchak. Yitzchak, he took the wood. Avraham, he's the one who took the feet, he prepared the fire. The Hanashim Lashos Batseik is a reference to, I don't know how this is called, to Sari Imenu. Sari Imenu Shipuk. What? Lushi Gassi, you go. She went and she prepared, when in preparation for guests. Hachnosas Orchem. But over here, the pasuk is playing around with our minds that instead of the good old days where the bonim and the avos were offering a sacrifice to Hashem, being oimed in the nesoyin of the akedah, serving Hashem, and instead of sorry imenu preparing lushi v'asiyu goes in order to prepare for the malachim, to prepare hachnos orchem in honor to teach the world the darkei Hashem, now you're using your good midos. Klal Yisrael is taking the midos that have been given to them by Avraham, Yitzchak, and by Sara Imenu, and we're using it to worship idols. Not just to worship idols, lahaches, to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem is furious. What kind of nonsense is this? Their avos have given them such beautiful gifts of service, of servicing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Achnas Orchim, ben Odom LaMokim, and Odom LaChavero, and now you're taking those midos toivos, and you're using it to anger Hashem by worshiping idols, and making peace is in honor of Avodah Zarah. So Hashem says such a thing is not going to be tolerated. Then here we come with a new another theme. How you see atem machisim? So Hashem answered, "Hey machisim, nu Hashem, halay oisam. You are angering yourself. Leman boishes pinehem. You're bringing shame upon yourself." In other words, Hashem says, "It does. This is an important yisoid in Yadus. Hashem doesn't need us. There are. You take a course in philosophy, and they'll teach lots of apikorsis, and they'll suggest an idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world because Hashem needs this world. There's something in it for Hashem in this, that He created the world. Hashem needs this world for Himself. There's a deficiency in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and He had to create a world where there are human beings who do certain things in order, what? This is the theory. This is a theory in philosophy. If you take a course in philosophy, they'll tell you 50 different theories about the purpose of this world of creation. And you have to go through Tanakh, and you find scattered throughout Tanakh psukim which systematically reject each one of these false ideologies. Now, among the ideas of apikorsis that are very popular is why. I mean, everyone has the question. Any thinking person: why did Hashem create this world? What for? Who for what? There's so much suffering. What does Hashem get out of this world? So there are apikorsim that say, "Well, we don't understand God, but it must be that God needs this world. There's a need that He achieves through creating this world." This pasuk says that is apikorsis. Hashem gets out of this world absolutely nothing. If a man rebels against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem doesn't get angry. You only get angry if you have a goal. If you have a goal, if you need something and you don't achieve your goal, then there's grounds to get angry. But if you get nothing out of it, there's no need to get angry. Hashem says, "Hey, you're going and you're rebelling against me. You're angering me. You're taking all the gifts that I've given you and you're using it against me. I'm not getting angry. because I don't need this world to begin with altogether. And the only one that's going to suffer is you. You're going to be the one that's going to be ashamed. This world was created from, according to the Ramchal, it's purely an act of chesed. Hashem does not need this world. Hashem wanted to do chesed with his creation. He gave us a world in order to do chesed, but Hashem doesn't get anything out of it. Pure chesed shalemis. Chesed sh'oisim im ha'meisim, you get nothing out of it. And if you want to abuse the gifts and the opportunity that you have in this world, you're only harming yourself. It has no effect whatsoever upon the Ribbono Shel Olam. So this pasuk here is a critical pasuk in philosophy 101 to reject that approach. Haloi Aisama, you're only causing, you're not angering me, you're angering yourself. You're causing harm to yourself. Okay, let's take a look at these psukim in Mefarshim. Hashem says to Yirmiyah, Pasik Sarim Pasik Tes Zayin, in the Mitzudos David, the Ata, Li Yirmiyah Yidaber, Hashem is speaking to Yirmiyah, Sha'al Yispalel Ba'adam, Hashem is doing something that is very unique. Hashem is telling him, do not be Mispalel. I don't want to hear from you the Koyach Atzila. By the way, where else do we have this theme not to be Mispalel? Moshe. Besides Klal Yisrael Matitzak Elay Dabar V'Yisrael Dabar V'Yisrohu, but Parshas Vo Eschanan. For Eschanan al Hashem Vo Eishahi Leymar Hashem Lokim Ato Achilos Lahalo Esavzucho Esgodcho Al Toysef Dabar Elay Od Badovor Hazeh. Enough is enough. I don't want you to dabar. There is such a concept in Tanakh where Hashem instructs us, instructs the people, not to be mispalel. But every time you can make a kalikot, I mean, a kalikot, every time there is such an instruction, it is for a different reason. And here it's because Hashem is angry with Klal Yisrael, he does not want to hear tefillah.
You have it this week, also, all the proportion deal with Kel no Rifon Allah, just sometimes.
Short tefillah, quick and fast. Okay, that's a different type of tefillah. There's a long tefillah for 40 days and a tefillah for 3 moments. Okay, the Altisa Kofel Hadavar B'Milim Shanois Mitzudo says poetic love, much repetition. Poetic repetition. Ki einenu eineni ki ein ani shemeya elecha. I will not listen to your prayer. It almost sounds like it's mida keneged mida. You do not listen to the words of prophecy, so I'm not going to listen to the words of tefillah.
Pasuk Yud. The words Rina Tefillah actually the abbreviations for Rifon Allah.
Rina.
That is for Rifon Allah and Rina Tefillah.
Well, where's
the Reish, Rina is Reish, Tefillah is Pei, and Na is Rina, and La is also Tefillah.
Push it a little
bit. Hipasik Yud Zayin, Eincha, V'chin, Ein Atoroya, Mohim, Oisim, Pasik Yud Ches, Habonim, Ritzon Lema, Kolecha, Mechem, Mesel, Avera, everyone is involved. La Sois Kavonim. The mothers, the women, are preparing pastries. La'sois minei macholim lahagish mincha, to offer as a meal offering lim leches shamayim, to the constellations or to the heavenly bodies. Ritzon leimar lekoychav gadol sheba shamayim hu hashemesh. So it's called the lim leches as a malka. Lim leches comes from the word melech. Melech, king. Here, queen. The sun is the king. Is the king of all of the heavenly bodies. Ki'ilu melech, melech, as if it's ruling al kulam. The hasech, and they're pouring out libations. Ule hasech oz nisachim leman hachiseni. Return to Leimar. Yoidim heim she'ein to elas ba'avoydaschem. They know good and well that there is no benefit to worshiping the heavenly bodies. Why then do they do so? Avul hey, avul kol ma'aseim lahachiseni. Everything you do just only to anger me. Next pasuk yites ha'isi. Return to Leimar. V'chi ha'kasku ba'avuri. Kloimar. V'chi ma'aseihem mazikim li. Are they really foolish to think that their sins are going to anger Hashem? Haloi hakas yazik lohem ki yiyeh lohem levoishes ulechlima. It'll be to them nothing more than boishes ulechlima. Hashem does not gain anything out of it. Does not gain anything out of this. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk yud ches lasois kavonim. They're preparing for themselves. They're preparing for themselves. Wait, did I skip any of the Rashis? The pastries are in the form of the stars. Star cookies. Animal cookies, the worst of the animals. Okay, but okay, he gives us a little more insight into what? Okay, l'melech ha'shamayim, koichav gadol hayu karin melech ha'shamayim l'shoin melucha, queen, rulership. V'chein tirgum yonason l'koichvas shamayim, the stars of heaven. Let's see the radak. Pasik tezai, v'yato tisa. Inyan hagvas hakol, where tisa means to raise your voice. Hashem says to him, you do not raise your voice in prayer. K'moy v'yisa esav k'aloy v'yefk. Rinot se'oka, to cry out. K'moy v'yavar harina. Kumi Rani Balaila, all of those are expression of crying out. Eincha, by the way, of course, this is the nusach of Slichos. In Slichos, Lishmoya, it's the refrain of one of the popular Slichos, Lishmoya El Harina V'El Hatzfila. Where does it come from? Obviously from this pasuk.
We have an echo, Kumi Rani Balaila.
Kuli, but the two together.
But Rina could mean joyfully, or it could mean prayerfully.
It's
one of the 10 terms
of tefillah. There are 10 terms for tefillah, and Rina is one of them. So here, but this refrain from the Slichos Lishmoya El Harina Vila Tefillah obviously is taken, drawn from here. And notice here it's in the negative form. Here it's the negative that Hashem says to him, I don't want to hear from you. Obviously when Hashem does want to hear, it's called also Rina Vitfila. Pasuk Yitzayin. And by the way, Rina, the Makam, the Gemara, the famous Gemara, Ibsim Sech, the Brachos, Rina Utfila. Rina is also a term of Talmud Torah. And from here the Gemara learns, the Makam Rina, Shom Tehei Tefillah, that there is an advantage to davening in a mokoyim where you learn. The Gemara says that Abaye, all of his days he would daven in the Beis HaKnesses, he would daven until he realized this drasha, El Harina V'Ala Tefillah. There's an advantage to davening the makom where you actually learn. That's a chiddush, because we know that in the time of the Gemara, the two were very separate. I mean, the Rabbi says that, he changed it. But there used to be, you know, in the Batei Midrashos, there was an ancient, we know this is a fact, there was no learned davening. In the Beis Medrash, it was a makom terasai umnasai, the potter from tefillah. If you sit in the Beis Medrash the entire day, you don't daven. You potter. There's nothing greater than davening. So the Beis Medrash was 24/7 Torah. You want to daven? You feel weak and you don't want to learn anymore? Oh, you're not learning anymore. You want to battle? Then you have to daven. You have to daven. So you can't daven here, because here you're disruptive, because everyone here is learning 24/7. So you go to the Beis HaKnesses. And that's why in Shulchan Aruch there are two different theories. There's the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash. Each one has chumras and kulas. In the Beis HaKnesses, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to even talk, even the Dvar B'Talem. To a certain degree, has more kedusha. The Beis HaKnesses has more kedusha than the Beis HaMedrash. In the Beis HaMedrash, you can sleep, you can eat, you can do. But on the other hand, the kedusha of Torah, on another dimension, has greater sanctity. Today, obviously, everything we live in a world where everything has come together, because in a way, we know in today, this is Manazeh, is on a madrega of Torah, so if everyone has to daven, so Mela, we combine the two together. All of the Batei Midrashos have turned into Batei Kinesios. All of the Batei Kinesios turned into Batei Midrashos, and that's why today the rules in Shulchan Aruch of Beis Medrash Pesach Nesses have been the standard has been lowered. Okay, let's see over here. Let's go back into the Radak. So if we
made that point, the Malbim made the point of saying that I don't want you to daven, because then I'll have to do something in your course.
Right, and it's not for the benefit of Klal Yisrael.
I want them, so
it's not fair. You hear me right?
He says Moshe Ashatz Marane, and then they answer. And you know, you're going to spur them to
doubt. So you said that Rina. Okay, you said that Rina is the shatz and tefillah,
right,
is the tzibur. Is the tzibur. The shatz, the tefillah. Okay,
I don't want
to be part. Don't be part of
it. They have to do it on their own.
They have to come to the realization on their own. Okay. Back pasuk Yud Zayin. Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, Ha'incha Ha'incha uvechut. Don't you see what's going on? Uvechutzos. Don't you see what's going on over here? Roye Mohim Oisim Ori Yehuda uvechutzos Yerushalayim. Shaloyev Oshulach is saying the Gilui B'Shvakim uvechavos. As we had before, they're not embarrassed. And the emphasis on the chutzos is there is no shame whatsoever. I heard recently a shir that was one that I don't know if this is correct, but I heard a shir explaining that this is one of the reasons why Hasidim, why I don't know how far I go back it goes, is there was an emphasis on dressing in a certain way. Hasidim today, they all have beards and they all wear long coats and they wear socks and they put their pants in the socks and they have certain types of hats. The Litvish Olam and the Svardim, they don't have special dress. Not so long ago, you cannot tell the difference between a Jew and a guy. Go back and before Kennedy, when everyone wore hats, you look at some old films. So every guy looked like a Ben Torah. You go in the street.
The pictures of this 1500s.
Yeah.
Jewish dress.
Special Jewish dress. Okay, so it's true. They're tkufas, but among many, especially among the Sephardim and among Jews in Germany, it was very common that they were absorbed into the larger society and they dressed exactly the same like the Goyim. Hasidim, it became a big thing. No, you have to dress differently. Why? Why do you have to dress differently? So people were arguing, because Jews have to be different. You have to be different. That's not necessarily, do the research, that's not necessarily correct. It's not because you have to be different. It's because you have to create a safeguard to be ashamed of doing an Avera. That's what I heard. I heard this from Rabbi Kefet. I don't know how accurate this is. This he holds is where his research tells him that this is where it came from by Hasidim, that you create a safeguard. If you're dressed in a long coat and a beard and a hat, today's not a good day. I'm not having a bad day today. Obviously, the 21st century doesn't work very well. But
Adam, they dress that way, not with similar dresses. They don't dress that way.
The guard should be?
The dress should make them act.
Yeah. Better Jews.
That's what I say.
Yeah, but it's more it's that you should be embarrassed to not there.
I remember.
Yeah.
In the 40s, the guy who started wearing hats, he was so happy that he shouldn't stick out.
Oh, okay, exactly. But by the posh, you want to go. You're not having a good day today. So let me go to the movie theater. What's so bad? Not so bad. Well, I want to chill out. I want to go to the movie. So if you're dressed like a guy, there's no difference. Every guy you walk, no one knows what I'm doing. I'm going into the movie theater. Who knows the difference? So what's so terrible? But if you're dressed in a reco and a big hat and a beard, you're posh and embarrassed. You're posh and embarrassed to go into a movie theater. So it does indeed create not anymore. Today, you just go behind closed doors, you turn on the computer, you do whatever you want, no one's watching, finish. But years ago, that was what it was all about. Obviously, today that's changed. Today, Lavush, you ask the Irish, why do you wear a certain Lavush? It's tradition. They'll give you all these reasons. They're not going to go tell you because they're embarrassed to have this. Because today, doing Avera, you don't need this. You can do Averas privately also. It's a different world today. But where did it originate from? It originated in order to create a sense of shame. This already is the second or third time we had this in Yirmiyah, where Hashem is saying there is no sense of shame. You go out into the street, you go in groups, you go to the Beis Zaynos in groups, there is no sense of shame. And when sense of shame comes to an end, that is the end. When there is no shame, it's a problem.
There is a full two-page ad for Pesach. For Pesach said to Kilu Yitzhaka Meretz Mitzrayim, and there's a tableau of the pyramids and the camels, and the guy sitting on the camels ran his dry over.
Well, by
world of fantasy. Okay, let's go further back. Let's go back to the Radak. The Radak pasik yud ches in the Radak. Habonim kol bnei habayis misaskim be'avoda zu l'sochor sheyekablu be'avoda. The children do this. They make a parnas out of doing this. They cut wood. They cut wood
to get paid
to worship idols. It says la soisam kavonim minei macholim shoyu machidim magishim lemlachas hashamayim pastries. They will be prepared in order to offer as meal offerings to the god, to the constellations. V'chein asinu lo kavonim, v'chein ve'es kivun tzal meichem. Kivun v'ulai kivun is another word. Kivun tzal meichem. The image, I guess, it also means there in that context some type of object that was made in honor of the tzalamim, of the idols. V'ulai kiram kavonim l'fi shemechavnim l'chein. V'datan la soisam ulasaknam heitev. I think it's a mistake. Oh, shemechavnim. So you're right. Liban, their hearts. Shemechavnim liban. V'datan alayhem la soisam ulasaknam heitev. Yidonis antirgim kavonim kar dutin. What does it mean, kar dutin? You know what? I didn't look. I have it over here.
Translated here,
forms. Okay. Lemeleches shamayim chosar. Then the word lemeleches is missing an aleph. So the question is why chosar aleph upeirusha k'moy maseh shamayim k'loymar lekoychavim. It means to the heavenly bodies. V'yesh mefarshim lemeleches shamayim lemeleches hashamayim loshon melucha. That's what the Radak, that's what the Mitzudos and the Rashi Simulucha means. It means a malchus, a king, a queen. Ritzon Eloimar, l'koychav gadol shebashamayim, the large star is as if it's been ruling all of the other stars. Yerushan Tirgim, l'koychav shamayim, the stars. Hashem says to Yishayir miyahoisi, ha'im oisim lachiseini, they're doing this to anger me, v'chit svudim heim sheheim machisim oisi. Are they foolish to think that it really makes a difference to me? They do not very, I'm getting angry. Ki lo sochol bimidas the ints, no, ki loy sochol bimidas kas, v'loy mida cheres, einem achisim osi ela, they're not angry. You mean, you'll ask your question, what do you mean? We have in chora api bohem. It says multiple times in Tanakh, Hashem gets angry. That's an external manifestation in order for us to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response. But it does not truly affect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just a show. But this is what it says. It's Hashem, it doesn't have any effect on me. Ela atzman ki aleim yochil hakas v'charoinaf. Leman boishas panim, sheyivoshu b'maseihem haro'im. They will be ashamed due to their evil ways. Ki ani Eini ra'oi she'echas b'ma'aseihem afilu tochol b'shum mido ma'ashaloi tochol. None of these midos comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki lo yaziku li ma'aseihem haro'im v'lo yativu li ma'aseihem hatavim. So this is a very yesoide sticker radak. The radak is coming to emphasize that when we do a mitzvah, Hashem truly gets no benefit from it. When we do an Avera, Hashem does not receive any harm. No one should make a mistake and think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's very easy to make that mistake. It's a very childish, naive way of looking at this world. Hashem gave us a commandment, so Hashem gets benefit. Hashem feels harm. The Radak emphasized this point based upon this pasuk. That's nonsense. Hashem derives absolutely no benefit or harm from our deeds. K'moish Amar Elihu Le'yoiv, and this idea is also expressed in Sefer Iyov by Elihu, one of his three friends. Im chotosa matifal bo. If you have sinned to Hashem, has Hashem harmed? Virabu pishoecha matasalo. If you have committed many sins, Hashem will not gain from this any matasalo. What can you do to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Im tzodakta. If you are righteous and you do good deeds, matitein lo. O mamiyodcha tikach. Leish kamocha rishecha uleven adam tzidkasecha. To a person who is evil, like you, a person who is righteous. The idea there in the pasuk is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gains nothing. Mashama b'toyra ki'ah. But we have in the pasuk in the Teichach, and there are many pasukim which says, ki asuni behav lehem, hichisuni bifsi lehem. We have in Chumash, and we have later on in Yirmiyah, pasukim which seem to indicate that Kadosh Baruch Hu indeed does get angry. To that, the Radak explains, dibra hat Torah kilashoyim b'nei adam aval hu yisparach ein b'amidas kas v'loi v'loi mifchisos not from mifchisos hamidas hametzuyos b'nei adam k'moi hakas v'zuloso, not like these lowly character flaws that are found by man, and by man, this does not exist by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a very beautiful Radak. The Radak over here is a very yesodistic. He's really coming to lay out in very eloquent words this theme, this concept. Don't make any mistake about it. There is no Radak on Eif. So you only have Radak over here on Yirmiyah, where he lays out this major Yisoid. Okay, let us stop over here. Pasuk Chaf.